The scriptures speak of a great man and a great woman. And I'd like to just call attention to a few scriptures in regard to this. The first scripture would be in Matthew 11. Verse 10 of Matthew 11, "For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Now Luke's gospel, the first chapter, and verse 13. Luke 1 and 13. "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. And shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." Verse 76. "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us." Now turn to Isaiah, please, the fourth chapter. I want to read the third verse, but you'll notice the first verse, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. Now the third verse, voice of him, notice that, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. We don't have a great deal of information about John the Baptist. We know he lived in the desert until his showing to Israel. He was separated from everything around him, a chosen vessel. And I suppose one might think, just looking at it in a cursory way, that John the Baptist, of course, was filled with the Spirit, and so he could do all these things that he did. But I want you to notice that he was told, the mother was told, that he was not to drink wine or strong drink. You know, no matter whom God uses, he prepares the vessel. And there is an exercise of soul in every service, whatever it may be. Even though the Spirit of God may take a vessel and use that vessel, there is an exercise of soul. And John was not to be inebriated with that which was around him of this world. He was to be completely separate. Now, the greatness was that he was the prophet of the highest. Now that's a sovereign, marvelous goodness of God that would choose John to be the prophet of the highest. And we learn also from the scriptures we read that he was to bring joy and gladness. That was part of his work. But how? Oh, he was to preach repentance. And we read in Isaiah about a highway. Now, that isn't a highway like you see out here. I-5, it was a moral highway of repentance where the moral glories of the Lord Jesus could be manifested down here. John went before and prepared the way. But he also said, prepare ye the way. They're both true. And so the exercise not only was with John, but with those who heard his ministry. They prepared the way of the Lord. And we'll see the reaping of this in the coming day. We read of some of it in the book of Acts. But I just wanted to call attention to John first as being a great man in the sight of the Lord. Not in the sight of men necessarily, but in the sight of the Lord. John had one object before him, and that was the Lord. And I believe that one of the most precious things that we could speak of in connection with his own personal joys was when we see him standing there in the Gospel of John and meditating, not teaching, just meditating. Behold, the Lamb of God. Oh, what a picture. And so the lesson we learn then from this great man is that he had one object before his soul, and that was Christ. Everything else had to go. And so we learn the Lord's own comment in Matthew, the first scripture we read, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. However, he speaks also of those who've come in later who have been brought into a more blessed place in the kingdom of God. But as for the man, there has not risen a greater prophet or man than John the Baptist. Now, if you'll turn with me, I'm not going to speak any more at this time of John. If you'll turn with me to Philippians. The epistle to the Philippians. The first chapter. The second chapter and verse 12. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Chapter 3. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, or the calling on high, in Christ Jesus. Now the fourth chapter. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, with those scriptures in mind, we'll turn to 2 Kings 4. I believe that this passage we're going to read now gives us a picture of state of soul or normal Christianity, which we get in Philippians, in doctrine, although it isn't quite like Ephesians where you speak of doctrine, but still it is. It's the teaching of normal, what's normal to Christianity in Philippians. We have the picture in this chapter we're going to read. And I believe it'll help us to understand the very path that we are pursuing at present as Christians. Verse 8 of the 4th chapter of 2 Kings. And it fell on the day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. In it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king, or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon. And then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And he called unto her, and she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. You notice in the margin, it shall be peace. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said, To Gehazi's servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her. Say unto her, Is it well? That is it peace with thee? Is it well or peace with thy husband? Is it well or is it peace with thy child? And she answered, It is peace. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, Did I desire a son, my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand. Go thy way, and if thou meet any man, salute him not. And again, and if Salute him not, and if any man salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them, and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him, and told him, saying, the child is not awaked. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead, and laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times. And the child opened his eyes, and he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come up in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet, and bowed herself to the ground, and took up her son, and went out. We have here two persons, John the Baptist, who was a great man, and this great woman. Now, maturity doesn't come overnight. There is a preparation of soul that would bring one to the point that we have in either of these cases. We had noticed the strong drink and wine depicting the state of soul that would avoid anything here that would hinder the calling by which he was called. Now, how do we know? We ask the question sometimes, how do we know that we have the Lord's will? I suppose that it's a question that's prevalent. How can we know that we have the Lord's will in what we do? How could John act as he did, step by step? And how could this woman take these various steps that we follow here? What was it that caused her to do what she did? Oh, you say, I suppose the Spirit of God. I have no doubt of it. But there is a way that the Spirit of God works. We had before us yesterday, so profitably, the book of Proverbs. And I want to read just the second verse of the first of the Proverbs, first chapter. To know, Proverbs 1 and verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. What does it mean to know? Well, it's the practical experience of a wise man who has been disciplined and corrected. That's to know. The practical experience of a wise man. We have the subject of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. In contrast to self-will. You know, this world is a vast system of evil around us. And so God has caused his prophets to write a book full of sayings, proverbs, And there are enough in that book of Proverbs to meet any and everything that Satan has projected in his realm. And if you and I will carefully read and study this book of Proverbs, we will find practical instruction for a godly walk down here. And so, as we look behind the scenes, this is what must have taken place with this woman and with John the Baptist. Maturity doesn't come overnight. To be able to act in this way so that God could speak in this way of these, a great man and a great woman, it's true, it was the Holy Spirit that's behind it all. But the operation of the Holy Spirit is through the exercise of the conscience of each individual soul. The practical experience of a wise man who has been disciplined and corrected. Now, if we had the time, we would notice in Proverbs that the way of correction is the way of life. The way of life. That was brought out, I believe, yesterday to us. And oh, how precious to know these things practically in our souls. Now, this is what gives spiritual intelligence for our walk, so we'll know what to do and when to do it. I just refer to this because, you know, we wonder, why is it that certain characters in Scriptures do certain things? Oh, you say, yes, they're led by the Spirit of God. I know they are. But how are they led? Through the exercise of the conscience to do certain things. And so we find, as the prophet passes by this house, she constrained, verse 8, him to eat bread. Why does she do that? Ah, because there's something that has exercised her soul. She was prepared for this moment. She was a daughter of Issachar. She was in the place called Shunem. And she's called the Shunammite. And the prophecy of Jacob concerning that son of Issachar was, and he saw that rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant. What rest? What land? For our purpose this afternoon, that rest on that land. We have a bright tomorrow. She saw that rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant. And so when you notice, he says, call the Shunammite, he's speaking of the inheritance. When he says, call the mother, he's speaking of the affections. And when he speaks of the great woman, it's the moral character wrought by the Spirit of God in that soul that prepared her. So when the prophet goes by, she constrains him. Now there are at least seven things here in which she's tested. We may not be able to speak of them all, but it's good to notice them when you have time. She's being tested all the way through. And you are being tested all the way through, and so am I. And it's a good thing we are. If she missed the first test, she'd miss the second, and the third, and the fourth, and so on. Oh, how important it is to be before God in communion and reading His precious Word, that our souls would be ready when the time comes. The prophet is passing by. She constrains him to eat bread. And what does he do? It was so that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. As oft as he passed by. Who is the prophet? Well, for us this afternoon, it's a picture of the Lord Jesus. Have you noticed when he passed by? Have you noticed the opportunities that you've had for communion with the Lord Jesus? Or have you substituted this and that so there's no room left for the enjoyment of communion with the person of Christ? As oft, he turned in thither to eat bread. But now the next thing is, she notices something. She said unto her husband, "Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God." Now that's the next lesson, to perceive the character of our pathway as Christians. He's a holy man of God. If there's to be communion with the Lord Jesus, there has to be that exercise of the conscience that we spoke of in Proverbs. The heart searchings responded to on our part. That's the next verse in Proverbs, the receiving, which we won't take time to look at. And so, he's a holy man of God. This is what she perceives. She responded at the first, and now she has learned something else, that he's holy. And if there's to be communion and fellowship, there must be holiness in our walk. Practical holiness. Now, let us make a little chamber. Either on the wall or with walls. In other words, it's a chamber, it's a place for the prophet, but it's in the place of separation. That's the next lesson. Place of separation. And what are the furnishings now for the man of God? What is it that he would enjoy if he came to rest there? If you had a place where you wanted the Lord to come, what would you provide for him? Well, first of all, we have, let us set for him there a bed. You suppose the Lord Jesus could rest in your house as it is right now? Have you provided that the Lord Jesus could come and rest in your house? What's next? A table. Well, we all know what that means, communion. This is what's provided. A table and a stool. Could that be for this great woman to sit at his feet, like Mary, to learn his word? A stool. The low thing, you know, stool. Taking a low place before the Lord. And this is what brings enlargement of the soul. The place that Mary took. A blessed place that would never be taken away from her, God says. And a candlestick. Where you have the other three, you'll have a testimony. That's the candlestick. That anyone who comes in may see the light. Yes? This is the path of a great woman. And woman sets before us rather the thought of position like the book of Philippians. What's characteristic to the believer as he goes through this world, the position he takes? And it fell on a day that he came in thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. She said he would, and he did. What's this? Faith. Perfect confidence that he will do this. You and I have that confidence in God in our prayers, that he answers prayers, do we? You know, it's been said that a man of God can change an assembly for good, but it can be otherwise too. Let's not be the otherwise. Let's see to it that our own path is such that there will be blessing in the assembly in which we're found. And then there will be joy in our own hearts and comfort too. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this mother? No, this, because it's a question of the inheritance. And you know, beloved, that if you and I have Christ before us, the Spirit of God will occupy us with Christ in the inheritance of all that God has provided in his counsels, a blessing for us. That's our present occupation if we're in communion. If we really want to have Christ before us, it'll be Christ in the inheritance. And oh, what a glorious inheritance that is. All that he created. As God, he takes as man so he can share it with you and me forever. Now, you have to meditate on that to enjoy it. You don't enjoy truth by just hearing it, because you haven't made it your own until you get in the presence of God with it and meditate on it. What do we do for this woman? She's done so much for us. You can't do anything for the Lord. But what he's going to do, something better for you. And the kind of blessings that he gives are so far superior to anything we would even think of. And oh, often when the soul is cast down in deep trial, with very little faith, the answer comes. And the blessing spreads out so rich that we can't contain it. Hasn't it been so in your life? No, God will not be debtor to anyone. Oh, she's going to be tested. Would you be spoken for to the king, captain of the host? Is that the kind of a blessing you want? Well, he knew it wasn't, but he was going to test her. The king could have put on a banquet for her. And the prophet could have arranged it, I think. The captain of the host could have put on a parade. The glory of this world. What did Moses do when he became great? He stepped down. And he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. She says, I dwell among my own people, a heavenly people. Is that your answer to this world and all the glory of it? I dwell among mine own people. Do you have a people that you dwell with? That you really feel? I'm not talking about some little group somewhere. I'm talking about the people of God that you dwell with, a heavenly people. And now the blessing comes. And what is the blessing? The very same blessing that Abraham got. She had no son. How could she have an inheritance without a son in Israel? The inheritance comes with a son, isn't it? She had no son. No inheritance. Does that stop her? No, not a bit. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is, beloved, to have confidence in God. Hadn't there been a prophecy in Issachar? He saw that rest was good and the land that was pleasant. She never turned aside from that promise. She valued that promise that Jacob had made. And she was going to stay with it. She wasn't walking by sight. She was walking by faith. She was going to get her blessing. Is that the kind of Christianity you have, dear fellow Christian? I'll tell you something. If that's the kind of Christianity you have, you'll live in peace. But if you're always going by circumstances, you won't have peace. And she did receive a son. But now what? Now let's notice. In the 18th verse, and when the child was grown, the Spirit of God takes us on now into a future picture, something. What is it? Well, it's another test. He fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said unto his father, my head, my head. I suppose a sunstroke in the field. And so he said to the lad, carry him to the Shunammite. Is that what it says? No, no, no. The word of God is perfect. Every word has its place. The mother. Oh, it's a question of the affections. And you know, sometimes if our hearts get cold, I'm not saying hers did, but God touches the affections. He gets right down to the root of things. Oh, what precious lessons. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. Now, you know, noon is the brightest time in a person's life. Some years have elapsed. She has a son. Everything is in that son. Son is a picture of hope. It's the resurrection, it's the inheritance that's in view. The son. And so, we find now at noon, the brightest time in the life, just when everything is going well, you have all your hopes set down here. God says, no, your hopes are not to be set down here. And so the crash comes. Oh, have you ever felt it, beloved? Have you felt when high noon comes and then the crash? Oh, how blessed. Oh, you say, how terrible. No, I say, how blessed. Every motive that God has, there's love behind it. Every purpose, there's love behind it. He doesn't act except from that heart of love. And if he takes something away, you're going to have something better. Be sure of this. Sat on her knees until noon and then died. Died. You know, beloved, there can't be any hope in resurrection until death comes in. And that's what's in view. And that's what we've had before us in these meetings, is it not? And the great thing for us as believers is to realize what it means in Romans when it 6, where it speaks of Jesus having died and we died with him. We sing it in our little hymns sometimes. Buried in his grave we lay. That has to come. before we realize the blessing of resurrection life. Death to everything down here. All our hopes, beloved. All our hopes down here. All our hopes have to be found in Christ and Christ alone, in nothing down here. And if we don't set our hearts on that blessed hope, God will set our hearts on it by our experiences in this world. Because He wants us to have the very best, and that'll only be in resurrection life. Oh, how many times, as the people of God, we've felt the high noon and then the crash. But that's the way of blessing. She speaks to her husband. But you know, that's only formal religion. He is not interested. She wants to go to the prophet, but he says, is some holy day that you want to go? Ah, no. The affections of the mother's heart. But what does she do with his son? She takes him up into that little room that she prepared for the man of God, and she laid him on his bed. And then she shut the door and went out. Can you do that with your troubles, beloved? Can you? Can you lay them on the very bed that the prophet occupied and shut the door and go out? That's what she did. She's a great woman. Isn't that what we read in Philippians? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace of God. What kind of peace is that? The peace that He has. That's what's going to keep your hearts and minds. And now she runs to the man of God and she's going to be tested again. So He sends Gehazi, His servant, who was really a false servant. He proves it later. He became a leper. A covetous man. But she could discern. That's Proverbs 1, 2. Proverbs 1, the second verse. She could discern. She knew. How did she know? Spiritual discernment. Through discipline, correction in her life. That's how she knew. She wouldn't go with him. In fact, when he says, is it peace? She says, yes, it's peace. She couldn't open her heart to the servant because she knew what he was. Oh, how much we can be preserved from in this world as we meet that which is evil around us who may pretend to be a true servant. But if we're walking with God and we have that wisdom that God gives, the observing of His commandments and His word and communion, we'll be able to perceive and understand our way as we go. And the prophet says, let her alone. Let her alone. He didn't understand. He wanted to thrust her away. But then the prophet tests her again, and he sends this man to lay a staff on the face of the child when he discovers what the difficulty with this woman is. But she won't leave. She won't leave the prophet. And so he follows too. And of course, Gehazi comes back, and there's no life to the child. How could there be? But she was tested, though. She was tested. (Clears throat) Now in the 32nd verse, the fact comes out before the prophet of God. And you notice here it's so often it's mentioned the mother, because it's a question now of the affections. And that's what the Lord is going to touch with his people, the affections. There's no real laying a hold of truth, beloved, except through the affections. You can have all the knowledge, but unless your heart is touched, and the conscience first, you can't hold it. The heart must be touched. You don't have truth unless it is. It must come through the conscience. And then it rests forever in the heart. And that's the truth of Scripture. As the prophet says, as the poet says, barbed words that fasten where they fall and stay deep in the hearts of men and never pass away. That's the word of God in the heart that's passed through the conscience. And he shuts the door upon the two of them. Notice, in the 33rd verse, and prayed unto the Lord. And now he goes up and he lays upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. Well, that's what we've had in our meetings, beloved. We're going to be exactly conformed to his image, just like Christ. Just like Christ. When that child is raised again, as we see here in the next verse, he'll be raised in resurrection life. And the prophet gives us the picture of perfect identification. Be just like Christ. Is this better than before noon? I'm sure it is, beloved. Because the portion that this woman has in her inheritance now is permanent. It's founded in resurrection life. I know it's a type that we're considering, but the Spirit of God gives it to us to open our hearts to the truths of the New Testament doctrine. Resurrection life. Perfect identification. But now she'll be tested once more. Test after test, yes, test after test. And he called Gehazi and he said, call this mother? No, this Shunammite. Because the question now is the inheritance, you see. That's the son, the inheritance. Christ and the inheritance known in resurrection life. Resurrection life. Called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Did he do so? No. Did she do so? No. What does she do? She shows in type that Christ is more precious to her than the inheritance. She falls down in worship. First. Then she takes up her son. No, that's really the lesson, beloved, of our pathway here as pilgrims, to discover that Christ is more precious to us than anything. that we could ever say was our own. More precious than anything. So she bows. She went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son. She valued the inheritance, though. But it was second place. And went out. Well, may the Lord help us then to realize that all our blessings are found in Christ and in resurrection life, not down here in this world. And if God takes something away from us, it's only to give us something better. And oh, there's going to be a bright day soon. We may have the sorrows and trials now, but there will be a bright day soon. And oh, what blessings. The height and the depth and the breadth and the length. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Passeth knowledge. That's our portion now and forever.